first sight, they should be doing these afterwards.
Yeah, they really should.
State.
Fred now suggested they're not urging it, but just wanted to raise the point that if you might want to off the record have Maurice Sands in for a few minutes. Just because
it happened again.
Well, yeah, because he's getting knocked around so badly in this stuff that is essential at all. It's just something that I don't want to be done.
Well, I don't mind if he doesn't ask me to do it anymore.
You won't.
The other guys, the debtors, all I'm going to do is no telephone calls and no contacts and so forth.
Yep. No, it is
fine.
He has asked to see you and he has no picture. Like, they just thought it might be a nice thing for you to just
All right,
bring him how it's going.
Fine.
Bring him, tell him you know how tough it is and all this stuff. It is hard for him. He's not the kind of guy who can deal with this.
We can't take the kind of heat.
Okay.
He's straight arrow and clean man.
I had a long talk with Ray. I had a series of them about the speeches and people and stuff like that. That
doesn't make much difference.
Well, he raises a point. He raises a point that maybe there's something to do about it. But we talked a while back about the Legion speech, for example, as being a case where, you know, by rewriting and restructuring it, you got it the way you wanted to do it. And that was when we talked about it.
So, well, the point is, I need to spend time with the writer sections. That's his argument.
No, I think that makes sense, but I
don't.
It's not his argument. His argument is that what hangs him up on that is the vice that they get caught in by what has to be in the speech and the 2,000 word limit. And he points out that the American Legion speech, after you delivered it, was 4,500 words. And that if they could write to 4,000 words instead of 2,000, they could write to that and still get the content in the other thing. And now, he recognizes that may not be valid, but he says that's at least part of the problem, is they write to the discipline of the 2,000 words and they cut out all of the, what to them are unessential, but what to you are the key points in the speech.
Why don't we go to 3,000?
The anecdotes and stuff.
I
think what we ought to do is tell them that they've got to write a 2,000 word speech or a 1,500 word speech.
That's right.
And that then they can talk 1,500.
Right.
And that then they can have 500 to 1,000 words for doing the other.
Right. Well, Ray's supplemental notes idea.
Yeah.
Fine, let's do that.
And see if maybe they can.
The thing they are not good at is frankly getting the form.
Yeah.
That they cannot do. So don't try to put it in the speech form. Write 1,500 words of substance that they need to be, and then put in, if they want to put 1,000 words of anecdotal material or supplemental material, fine.
It gives them a little bit different leeway. That it might work. I don't know. Ray understands the point.
Well, Ray is very good and very
honest. Well, he knows what you're saying. He does know exactly what to do about it. But he does, to a degree at least, partially recognize the problem.
Standard, impossible to find it. You can write a muscle.
Chuck, remember with you the Harris stuff on Vietnam? He's putting out Monday. Because it's really fascinating.
Oh, yes, yes. That we're, the favor bombing of mine. Yeah. That is our
favorite bombing and mining by 5332.
Yeah.
74 to 11, they agree with President Nixon's contention that it's important that South Vietnam not fall under the control of the communists.
They didn't give me that.
74 to 11.
We're on the right side of the issue.
By a 47 to 35 margin, they oppose a coalition government in Saigon, even if that were the only way we could get peace in Vietnam. In other words, a majority prefers the war to a coalition government.
Yeah.
And 74 to 11 against communist control. Then he points out, he says, these results tell only half the story about the profound shift that's taken place in the past month in American public opinion on the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
As much of the renewed credibility of Nixon policies on Vietnam can be traced to the succession of statements and campaign tactics of McGovern on the issue. Back in May, 54 to 21 agreed that McGovern deserves credit for being against the Vietnam War before other politicians. In May, 54 to 21.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
In September, it's now 42-41. Now, there's still 1 point agrees with giving it credit. But as he says, it's a dramatic drop of 32 points in the margin paying tribute to McGovern's early stand on the war. Contributing to this declining confidence in McGovern on Vietnam is 58-18 disagreement with the recent statement by the South Dakota senator that in effect the U.S. was more brutal in its bombings than the communists when they occupied parts of South Vietnam. Disagree 58-18. By 56-15, the voters feel it was wrong for McGovern to predict that if he wins the White House in November, General Tu will flee South Vietnam and coalition government the communists will take over. 49-20, with plurality simply do not give credibility to the charge by McGovern's enemy, Sergeant Shriver, that the Nixon administration blew a real chance to achieve peace. 51-26, a majority of the vote does not agree with Senator McGovern's charge that sent Henry Kissinger's travels to Paris and Saigon are no more than publicity in the Senate. 42-25 agree with the administration claim that by sending Salinger to talk to North Vietnamese, McGovern was harming efforts by Kissinger to negotiate the settlement. 49-32 do not go along with the claims of Ramsey Clark that the U.S. was engaged in immoral and human bombings. And then, the one that's in a way the most interesting of all, they've frequently asked the question, do you tend to agree or disagree that President Nixon has not kept his pledge of 68 to end U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War?
That's what we heard.
Not kept with, it was 48-40 in April, it was 50-42 in July. Now it's 44-46 pledge kept. In other words, it's moved to where, it's a small point, but two points more to say you kept the pledge to end U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. When they asked which candidate you feel most agreement with in bringing home U.S. troops from Vietnam, Governor Nixon. Next to 51 to go to 33. But it just, I'm
no,
going to Henry because it just, you know, the Vietnam issue.
If you had to Rogers too.
Yeah.
Rogers' best way to become more of a public personality is for him to lash out on Vietnam, talk stronger. You know what I mean? He has a time to always encounter attack. You know, it's impossible about not always whining around about, you know, human life, but State Department, how do we prove that we're not bombing? How can we do something about the dikes? We're going to worry about whether we withdraw or not.
Talk about avoiding communist takeover, but goddammit, the people in this country are 6 or 7 to 1 against a communist takeover.
Henry thinks we're wrong.
I know.
Yeah. Henry always tracks it out of the speeches. I say, put in the word communist.
74 to 11.
Communist.
Nixon's contention is important, not falling in total of communists.
that's the word.
64 to 20.
It's only basically the liberals that don't like the word communist and so forth. That's the idea of McCarthy syndrome. That's very good to get, Henry. Very good to get.
We've got the boys out there rumbling about tax increases and so forth, and tax reform.
What's that?
The press. And I think we can shift it to our advantage. I just wanted to make sure that we're heading in the right direction on this. Scott Ford this morning said that you had made the point to be no tax increase.
Provided we have a ceiling.
Well, they said a ceiling, and if not, the Congress would have to take the responsibility and so forth.
Right.
Then they got into the point. Does this mean for the next administration, the next 4 years? I said, yes.
Right.
Now, then I got out there, and they said, well, no, it's press secretary. Are you saying? I said, well, the president contemplates, does not plan, and does not contemplate contemplating any new tax increase for the next administration, next term. And I refer back
to... Subject to the Congress. That always be that game. The Congress overrides. You know, it's... See what I mean?
Well, that's right.
I can't believe we got I can't. That's... The president's not going to submit tax increase budgets, that's for goddamn sure.
No, this is the point I'm making.
And in fact, from
our side, there's a commitment.
Not going to result in any tax increase. That doesn't mean you don't vary in the numbers. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
That's the only point. You may change the overall number, but there's not going to be any tax increase created. There's a tax take.
That's a commitment that we made for the next 4 years, subject to the Congress.
That's right. You don't want government to get any bigger. That's not what it was.
The point I made.
Politics of government should not get bigger.
Yeah, the other point I made.
You should also clear that with Teller.
Well, I was thinking I might may take Ehrlichman out of 3.
Yeah, great.
Because
great.
We got focused on this now.
That's right.
And that's number one.
The trouble is, though, don't answer the fucking questions. They heard of an attack.
That's
did point. They avoid attacking?
Yeah, that's what I was doing, was attacking.
The attack of a governor's program will require a 50% tax increase. You can't have $100 billion of the budget without tax increase. Higher prices, higher taxes. Did they say that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then they followed up with the fact is that the president is committed to no tax increase.
Good. But attack.
But you see, the thing I'm thinking
is already the president denies he's going to have a tax increase. And then Jesus, maybe he was thinking, attack my government, he's going to have a tax increase, and we're against him.
That's why I'd like to get Ehrlichman out there this afternoon to hit that point, because I think then we'll shift it back to the attack. Right now, the story, even though that we did attack and they attacked, is that the president says he won't have a tax increase. Well, what I want to force up there a little more tax comparison.
Well, that was the purpose of sending the damn leaders out. I told them I should have briefed them myself, I guess, but I sent them over there early.
Well, no, they
tried.
They tried. They hit the 100 billion. So.
Enjoy your meeting, Rob. The issue is not, we've always, I said that before.
But that's nothing new.
It's in my second speech. I said an acceptance speech. No tax increase. There will be no not increasing the burden of taxes, you know, right. So it's going to be.
Then the point of value added, if that would come about and we haven't decided that, you have not decided that, that does not equate to tax increase.
Hell no. Okay, we can have tax reform. Tax reform may shift burdens. Tax reform to make it more equitable. It's one thing. To make the tax system more equitable, we may have a simplified form, we may change this and that. We don't rule out changes within it. There's not going to be any tax in the
government land. Is tax increases under the guise of tax reform?
Tax reform resulting in a tax increase. Any tax reform proposals, we don't rule out tax reforms that we make, will not result in a tax increase. The tax bite really comes from. Good issue. But only if they get him on the back and he requires a 50% increase in taxes.
value out of any new taxes in the state, even if it's at one tax to relieve another. For all, the only thing the folks will see or understand or hear about is Nixon's new tax. While we spent several weeks explaining the concept, and several weeks after that explaining that,
John could do that. He said,
"We're not to knock down the value."
We happen to be in a good
position. Why didn't you guys say? Why didn't you say no? We're not considering that this time because we're reading on.
It's been under study.
Right, it's under study. But
what he could say,
we are not considering it now. We're not considering
what he could say. It's been under study. We haven't received the reports yet. But
we haven't received. We frankly, we haven't seen any report that we're satisfied with. We therefore are not considering it.
Based on the information we have it now, it's highly it's
true. It's problem.
That there would be okay.
Why did you shoot value added?
Well, the thing from a news standpoint, quite frankly, Mr. President, you've got to say 4 years, because if you don't, then they'll go with a story.
No, they're ruling it out in consideration of our tax reform proposals.
Quite frankly, you have to be a little bit
different. Our tax reform proposals do not include value-added. We have not found a formula that we think is equitable, and consequently, the President ruled out value-added.
But don't you agree, in response to that type of question, does that mean for the 4 years, you've got to say
yes?
Because if you don't, then they'll say the president doesn't want to have any tax increase the first year.
You change your mind because the Congress increased the budget.
That's right. But we don't have to say that. We don't have to say that. He just said
they have found a part of the president's rule without it. You think of lining them up later time? No expectation.
Right. It's a lousy political concept to have kicking around, and McGovern's just, he's writing it. He's using it.
That's right. And that's why I got pressured this morning.
Wow, the value added is these plans, that's what you're considering.
Just tell her to knock it out and say that we're not considering, because we're not going to have it now. And I know this.
We've got him in a good psychological state now to get a good story out of this at 3, because I was a little vague with him and so forth.
Tell her to crack it. You can call me. I've got to go see the damn diplomat.
Now, then, this Hoffman thing, are you aware of that? He's going to North Vietnam to try and negotiate to release the prisoners.
That's that damned fault.
Gibbons,
right.
Can't ever turn him on.
I guess he's been floating around here for a while. He's not turned off. He's on his way. But,
he won't go anywhere.
You know, you run the question, are we going to criticize him after criticizing Salinger and Fonda and Clark.
Yes, I would.
Well, he's not going to play their propaganda. Well, we didn't criticize Dellinger for the prisoner release or Kennedy.
We run through that for a moment. We criticized Clark and we criticized.
Not for prisoner release.
We criticized Clark and Fonda for talking against the United States while they're in Vietnam. We criticized Salinger very definitely for injecting himself into a negotiating setting on behalf of the.
There's no negotiation taking place in North Vietnam. It's taking place in Paris.
That's where Salinger was.
Salinger's in Paris.
And he was doing it on behalf of the opposition candidate. He was driving himself, a private citizen.
I just say that I just had a comment on that. You got to see how he conducts himself. I say that depends on how he conducts himself. That's the way I say it. We were hopeful when they come out there, but I guess so. We'll see negotiating over there. What else negotiating is taking place in Paris? Son of a bitch.
I'll tell you I'll say it this way, just to take the other side for a moment. If we use the line, depends on how he conducts himself, but this is not the role for a private citizen, that would cut through the natural instinct and the natural story that will be written, that we're not criticizing a comp, but we did find a Clark and Salinger.
I don't give a damn. The hell with
the
press. Stick it up their ass.
That's fine with me. I just
want to. We're not going to criticize it before he gets there. Not going to comment. I'm not going to comment. The way we said, we didn't comment on the others until they got out and made assholes of themselves. I just say, I don't have any comment at this point. That's an eye infection, so I'm not going to comment. That's an eye infection, so.
Well, the White House didn't criticize the evidence, did that?
Just so.
Okay, but that's
not the right comparison if I had a presidential candidate. I think you just say defense of what the eye infection, so. And, is he going there to negotiate? We have no information on that. We'll see. See what I mean? I'd stay right with that. Or not, don't get into it now. Yeah, I have to shoot down the value of ID. You might as well. He's been gassing around a lot.
Shoot it down.
But we're not going to have it, so that's pretty sure.
Now's the time to shoot
it. Letting it flow down doesn't help us.
Yeah.
See, that's correct.
Just saying, well, that's what he can say. It's recommended by a number of people. It's for consideration. And we have decided to, I met with Schultz this morning. He can place it on the Schultz meeting.
That's great.
He decided, the president decided this morning that we should recommend the Secretary of the Treasury that we would not have a budget change. He just put it flat out. No article, not to hedge it. These guys, they tried to rescue me, so I said, well, I'm content, there's not as much money in there. No, they hadn't read that $4,000 fine. They didn't know it had totally been people, but it had all been mailed to them. Just unbelievable to sit there and announce them. They're politicians. So we sure aren't getting across the country, are we? These guys don't have it.
Well, I'll tell you, the other thing, you can equate it to the press, too. It's amazing.
They have
the weakness of the communication structure is incredible.
Yeah.
Even in the press conference out here, they were asked a question based upon what they had conceived in their own mind that you said in the press conference maybe 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, hell, I remember it. Why can't they? They're the reporters. They said, well, I recall that the president said he was going to submit a tax reform package by the election time. I said, you don't recall that because he didn't say that.
Right.
What he said was that now is not the time, an election year, to seek tax reform,
right.
Number one. Number two, he said he would submit it to the next Congress.
That's right.
Before the first of the year. He didn't say before the election.
That's right.
He also said on value added that any new tax cannot be a disguise for tax increase. What we're talking about is reform and equity.
Right. You're right.
You've got all of these guys out there who...
They don't want to say that.
So
Rob,
but
they're not making sense.
Rob, they don't. They're pulling your leg. They're trying to find a God, boy.
Well, I think this conversation about it, quite frankly, stupidity. I grant the point that they will do that to get a story.
Yeah, no, I didn't know they want to write it the other way. They're trying to write it the other way, so that's that. But that's all right, you're not going to hurt them. Hurt has got to be categorical as hell.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what
we were considering value added among many other things.
I want Ehrlichman on camera at 3 o'clock saying, no tax increase, no value added.
That's right.
McGovern,
yeah. This is one of the clearest issues of the campaign. The new McGovern budget, after we take into consideration this New York speech, now would add $100 billion to spending, which would mean a 50% tax increase, inevitably. No way. President Nixon is against any increased taxes.
For the next 4 years.
Increase in taxes. And that covers the next 4 years now. We believe government's too big. And it shouldn't get any bigger. And, I need to get across. Tax reform to make it more equitable, that's always possible. Value-added tax, no. The only thing that they may do, in terms of equity, we submitted in 69 as part of our package to the Congress, a request that everybody, the rich, all pay something. Remember, they didn't give it to us. And Schultz recommends that ought to be
that private square up there. And why doesn't he go back and ring the changes like Tommy said yesterday at the same time?
Yeah, because we have already provided the greatest, the most significant tax reform and tax reduction in history. I think at least I know I accept the speech of everybody else's here and their sons and their
sons. But Tommy, right, the most sweeping tax reform, we've taken 19.5 billion.
We've reduced individual taxes by $19.5 billion. We've increased corporate taxes by $4.5 billion.
And we reduced the excise taxes that individuals pay by $3.5 billion.
We reduced excise taxes.
And we've taken 9.5 million poor people off of the tax rolls completely.
9 million poor off the tax rolls and reduced those earning $5,000 or less by 66%. And people earning between $5,000 and $15,000 by 15%.
And that's specifics on tax reform. That's a lot of mindless
stuff. We repeat it. The assholes will not use it because
I think they'll use it today because we're going to.
Sure you put Ehrlichman through the tricks.
Yeah, I will.
The category.
He can't get it.
See, he can't be legal. He can't be cute. He's got to say no. And we decided it this morning. President Secretary Schultz is going to have this. What he's going to have away the rest. We're trying to work out another formula. Our goal is a reduction of property tax. But we haven't got a formula. We're working on a formula. We're going to wait a week here for this committee. We'll come before the election. That'll depend on when the committee reports.
But we rejected value added as a.
Yes, we value added.
But don't you agree? We can't get into the process of answering what if questions because that's where those curious.
No.
Yeah, just say, I'm going to go into what if
questions. No. I'm saying categorically this time. I'm going to go into any questions.
This is our position. There's no need for it.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Okay. Do you think in retrospect that we were correct in doing their giving them the press one party or not?
Absolutely.
Is it worthwhile?
Yes, sir.
I want to know that. I mean, we didn't have the riches around. It's so degrading. Except for a half dozen. I don't mind the talk of the
I think it did a lot of good. No immediate shift in storage.
Well, not shift storage.
But in terms
but
of
the ownership. Your point is, it shows that we are not inaccessible.
I think it goes beyond that. It accrues to our advantage simply from the standpoint that it shows you relaxed, confident, and in control, and it shows in that type of setting.
The important thing is not buddy-buddy.
That's right. But it shows you in that
setting. Not having a drink.
That's right.
It's important.
It shows you in that
setting.
They did. But still, they know your graciousness and that of Mrs. Nixon. It's good from that standpoint because it's the attitude thing that doesn't shift the stories and doesn't make it, change from aggressively hard on tax reform out here. But
that's general,
from our own personal standpoint, it's helpful.
I'm proud of government. When he asked about getting him an answer, I told these people around here to tag.
It's not helpful because we've given them a cocktail and an enjoyable time. It's helpful because they see you in a relaxed setting, so she said. Don't you think that?
Sure. Well, they seem sad too.
Sure.
I would do it again.
I never would again.
It's good at some point. That was a good time to do it when you're not seeking any trouble. It's better to have done it then than on the eve of going out and campaigning.
Right.
I mean, it's just the
end of a trip.
The end of a trip.
Now, fellas, we've all been together. Your wives are here.
Those crabs.
What do you think of those?
Delicious.
Filipino crews. That's, that would be the key in this house, if you could get around to it. Just get the goddamn niggers out of
there
and get Filipinos in. Because the Filipinos, you, you work them like slaves, like they used to work the blacks, but they work. They're dumb as hell. They're dumber than the blacks.
Yeah.
Except for a few.
Yeah, no. What I don't do, not like they're artists, which I like to
watch on pride.
The thing is, they are basically, to be perfectly frank, the shadow creators of the thing.
Howard?
I agree with you. Don't you agree?
Yes, sir.
He really isn't.
He's good on desserts, but he is a lousy.
Is the rest of the stuff is a food that
the food in there is not good.
No, but the food
is okay. He's good on fish. The fish courses he eats damn good. Makes good fish
sandwiches. Whoever fixes that food on a Sequoia up in Camp David, on that is the best. That's the best food in the world.
You know what they call? It's Delacruz.
It's cheap Delacruz.
But no, not only Delacruz can do it. Munson can cook exactly the same. They all cook the same way.
Sorry.
And there's one other guy who does just as well. One day Delacruz is off, and he's just as good.
And the dinner out at the Western White House.
Same thing. Same thing. That's
the
that's
the best food in the world. Delicious.
What was that?
Well,
when you had the egg.
Oh yeah, but that's not
that was delicious.
If you put that out there, I think I can serve 102. Do it with the great style. The thing is that
there's some. It's better presented.
Yeah. That's right.
The things are hot. They don't. Of course, here you have a terrible logistic problem. This is worse class in the world.
One thing that I want to do is you're all. I drove back to the kitchen over there. One thing that's utterly disgraceful is this goddamn kitchen, the upstairs kitchen. I mean, that's the one we go into from time to time. We're putting a nice bar, and pretty wallpaper in California. For Christ's sake, they ought to do the bar over again. You know, of course, the thing is that. The blacks are here awfully nice, but they aren't very damn competent. They aren't very competent.
Yeah, they're old, shiftless. Freddy's a nice guy, but not, and I, maybe he's competent. But
who?
Fred. But he's not a he doesn't wait, does he?
There's two or three others that are there that are fairly good. But basically, they sort of pad around them.
But no, I'll tell you, if you could put Ron Jackson in there, as
they
may should be.
Think they work for the blacks?
Yeah, I think so. They work with the whites. See, they're working whites into the into the mess operations now.
Right. Anyway, that's a good idea, Ron. Let's get this as our story out here. They hit it real hard. And that was Schultz. Knocked the damn thing out of the box. And then ask what else they're going to talk about.
Right.
Get rid of these issues from there.
Pull the value in.
And then there's the son of a bitch, let McGovern talk about something else.
Pull that thorn out and see, because that's where I ran into a little problem this morning.
Right.
Well, it just makes no sense if we're not going to do it, too.
Right. We're not. Thank you. Very good. Yeah, let's have solutions to all of our problems. We don't have problems on the other side. It's hard sometimes for our own people.
They're only worried about the fact that they're not worried. No, it's, you don't want people to. No matter how good things are, you want them to keep looking.
Not their pleasure. No, I agree. You should always be on the up and frankly, try to just do a little better. Do always do a little better than the money, the money. No, we're doing quite that bad. But I'm almost to the point of giving up the house in Santa Cruz. Our idea is involved that we don't get it through the press. But in some way, well, I think it's also involved with our distribution apparatus. And I've got to say, I think Ehrlichman Shop is still inadequate in that respect. I really do. I mean, if you're talking to John about a specific thing and tell him, hit him over the head. Generally speaking, it is just Bella's dishwater and incomprehensible.
Well, some of it is, but
John
is he's doing well, and he's
John personally is a lot greater. But I mean, he doesn't have a writer. Now, who's he got? Heber?
He's using the Andrew, the crew.
Yeah.
Different.
Maybe better using Buchanan. Buchanan certainly goes to the Hitler.
Well, we already see Buchanan. Buchanan's doing all the attack and counterattack. Editing. He's, you know, the guy.
Why we get when I was surprised that he
thanked me.